As Pastor Jesse reminded us or introduced our series, we're starting this sermon series called Words We Live By, and you'll hear from different voices of our leaders in Kairos throughout this series. And so we all live by words, whether they are spoken to us, whether they are shown us, they can come through stories, they can come through various narratives by different sources such as social media, the news, even our families. So we all live by different words. So for example, something silly, whenever we leave the house, my dad, every time we leave, he'd be like, hey, remember, pee pee poo poo before we leave. Those were one of the words he lived by before leaving. So that's one of the silly ones. He was much a wiser man, but than that. But we all live by words, whether they're spoken to our friends, from our friends, family, somewhere. And so for us as Christ followers, we live by the words of God. And so I'll be sharing a few words of those that I live by today. But before we do, I just want to tell you about a time when, well, I should start off with this. A question. I always like to start off with a question. And this is, you can respond. What do you think of when you think of the word rest? It can be good or bad.
Naps.
Naps, okay. Naps, okay. What else?
Peace.
Peace, okay. It can, good, all good words so far. Stressful. I heard someone, oh, that was me, sorry. Stressful, right? It can be, sometimes it can be stressful, right? To rest. Oh man, y'all are masters at rest? All right, good. Then I don't need to share my word today. So this one time I was hiking down in the Shenandoah Valley on Old Rag Mountain. So I enjoy hiking. And so when I was a younger man, I pushed myself hard. I didn't like to take any rest during my hikes. I would only stop for views and for, if I was by myself, just for views. And so this mountain is a whole day hike. It's not your quick in and out one. And so this was a couple years ago, so I was still trying to think, I got this, I can push through this. And so I'm on the middle of this rock formation, like boulders, not little pebbles, like rock formations where you're using your whole body to push yourself up. My body just gives out. It just says, hey, we're gonna sit right here on this sun-faced mountain. And guess what? The trail that you could take was very narrow. One person could fit through this trail. And so I sat there. And it's a popular hike, so there's a lot of people going up of it, a lot. And so I'm doing this, like sitting as close, as far away as the trail as I can, but I'm in it. So people are going up, and so I'm embarrassed, I'm angry at myself. I was like ashamed. I felt guilty that I couldn't, like I had to take a rest. So I felt a little defeated. So my guiding question for us, for myself, for our time today is, why are we so bad at rest? Why are we so bad at rest? But before we do that, let's pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we just get this time to talk about you, to enjoy each other. Thank you for this moment that you've given us, this time together to worship you. We thank you for Emmanuel and Pastor Dan, as they just encouraged us, kept us accountable. Lord, we thank you, but most of all for your word. May you protect this time from the evil one, from anything else that may distract us during this time. May you give us eyes to see and ears to hear. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, friends, could I ask you to stand with me as we read the verses for today? Yeah, thank you. All right, so I'll read it for us. You'll be very familiar with all the these words. Matthew 11, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden light. And from Mark 2, the Sabbath, Jesus is saying, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. And John 17, during the high priestly prayer of Jesus, he says, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. This is the word of God. Please take a seat. And so, as I was wrestling what to share today, because Jesse gave us, the whole of Scripture to decide what words we live by for me to share with you this morning. And so, I cheated a little. I gave you a few verses. So, how do they all connect? For me, they connect by intimacy, rest, and rhythms. And so I'll talk about how rest has impacted me. But before that, I want to go back to that question that I asked. Why are we so bad at rest? For us, and for historically for the world, rest is hard. It's not a core value. We've been taught just to work our entire lives, and for some of us, even into the ground. But we know we all need it. We know we need it. And before we go on, just to be that we're on the same page, what I mean by rest is anything that you call work. It doesn't mean you simply just stop from it, right? Because we all do that. We have that cycle that we have no choice: work, sleep, rest, right? We have no choice. Our body doesn't really give us choices. Sure, you could go on for a few days if you really pushed yourself, but you're gonna maybe even kill yourself by accident. But we all know we need it. And so work, this kind of work that I'm talking about, it can be our schoolwork, it can be our what we get paid to do, or volunteer work, it can be chores, it can be any music lessons. But what I'm not saying is that rest is bad. Work is bad. Sorry, kids. Chores are important. You're gonna have to do them for the rest of your life. So those are important. I hear an amen, right? Can I get an amen? So those you don't get to stop. But work is good for us. But what I'm talking about is God-centered Sabbath rest. God gave us that example in Genesis to follow. He didn't need to rest on the seventh day, right? He's an all-powerful being. And so if you've grown up or you've been in a church setting long like this, you know that Sabbath was made for us, that rest was made for us, that he made it holy, that God made it holy and created it just for us, right? So we are supposed to take rest seriously. So why is rest so hard for us, though? If you're like me, I've made up excuses like, I'm too busy, life is too chaotic, how could I even fathom fitting rest in my rhythms, in my week, this week? We say like, oh, I have a family, there's no time to rest. Maybe you're not sure how to rest. Or maybe you think like me, you're like, oh, I work, I go home, watch a little TV, eat, sleep. I'm resting, right? I'm resting. And sure, there are times where that is considered rest. Sure, there are times when emergencies happen or crises are happening within our life where maybe rest is unrealistic in the way I'm talking about it. But apart from those exceptions, those sentiments that I share, that I'm too busy, life is too chaotic, I have kids, these sentiments can reveal something a little deeper. So I want us to go a little deeper today with that. For some of us, the idea of making meaningful rest can feel like an assault on our identity, our worth, our value. Think productivity, think value, think belonging, and how they relate to our jobs, to our schooling, our family lives, in relationships. And if you're like me, when you try to rest, your mind can go stir crazy, thinking of all the things you need to get done or the people you need to care, I need to care about in my life. And that stir craziness can come out in questions like, am I producing, achieving enough to where I'm valuable? Or who am I if I'm not being productive? Or maybe we think, am I failing God or myself or my family if I rest? We may even have pride for us in this region of our country. We have pride in our productivity and our efficiency in life. Look at us. Look at me. I'm producing a lot. And so the lack of meaningful rest can also reveal that we have trust issues, that we have this idea of control over our lives, and maybe even begin to challenge how we think of others and God. We ask ourselves, if I don't do it, who will? What if no one is reliable in my life? Will my world fall apart if I rest? A lack of rest can reveal these deep fears, deep insecurities, maybe even wounds, and maybe even our greatest sins and sin patterns. Our inability to rest is a statement that we do not trust God. Yet Jesus, we just read, is Lord of the Sabbath, Lord of rest. Our fears, our wounds, our sins find their ways out in our parenting, in our work lives, in our family life, in our relationships, and even through our bodies, right? And before you go thinking, oh, these are not problems for me, I'm talking about me. I'm right there with you. And I want to share, actually, a journal entry I wrote earlier this year in April about this very topic. And so I was at a retreat, and I was a spiritual retreat, and I was reflecting over Matthew 11, this verse right there. Oh gosh, did I not mark? Here we go. And so I wrote this. If I'm honest, my soul is tired. I take a weekly Sabbath, but lately it's mostly physical rest and brain-numbing activities. Which aren't always bad. But God showed me that the word rest in these verses was a pain point. God challenged me that I wasn't seeking rest in him, but in other things. He helped me see that I was feeling guilty for resting as if I wasn't doing enough. He showed me that just being with him in his word is enough. He is enough. And so around this time, just before this spiritual retreat I took back in April, I was pushing with Easter planning. I was heavily involved in our youth, especially our youth retreat. And I was just making a lot of excuses about rest. I'm too busy for that. I'll get to it later. There will be time for Sabbath rest when I'm done with this season. But I had skipped out on a few meaningful Sabbath rest days. to give room to God to speak into my life, into my marriage, and to restore my soul. So I may have stopped doing what I call work, but to only pick up different kinds of work and to just numb myself to saying, okay, I'm not doing work, I'm fine. And sure, I still spent daily time with God, but I was essentially denying myself deeper rest. I had forgotten about the verse that I was reflecting on in Matthew 11, saying, and what Sabbath rest is really all about. It's about intimacy with Christ. He didn't say, come to me and I'll give you 7 steps to make rest easy. Right? He said, come to me and I will give you rest. I will be your rest. Right? That's intimacy language. So Sabbath rest is an intentional step towards Jesus and what he's all about. And what I live by is intimacy with God. How is rest all about intimacy, though? Rest is a deep, deep act of trust in God, that our world won't fall apart when we're resting. When we practice Sabbath rest, we are submitting to the Lord of the Sabbath. And rest challenges our mindset to be productive, to be useful, to find comfort in our pride and self-reliance. It provides space for us to reorient our mind and soul towards Jesus. Rest allows us to reflect on the goodness of life, the mercies of God, and a life of gratitude. Yeah. He said, come to me, all who are weary. Right? His life, Jesus' way of life, is all about intimacy with God. It's not about forming habits, which for me, very easy to do, and to forget what it's all about. Right? Intimacy is why God created me, why God created you, each and every single one of you, for intimacy. He didn't create us to use us. He didn't create us to just make us do things. God didn't need that. He chose to make us for intimacy. And he chose to do that because he wants us to know him and be known by him. And that's the word that Jesus gave. In John 17, he says, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. More than anything, this is the word that I strive to live by. To know who Jesus is, to build a deeper connection with my Lord and Savior. To remember who and trust who the builder of my life is. And to grow closer to the greatest lover of my soul. He is the one who has carried my family through harsh and difficult times, and I'll share one of those later, but he is the one who guides our family. And so my encouragement to you is this: if intimacy is difficult for you, the good news is that intimacy and relationships are a long, long journey. And our relationship with God is no different. That's why he calls it eternal life. So if intimacy is difficult for you right now, in the here and now, remember the words that John heard from God in Revelation 21, right? That he will wipe away all tears. He will wipe away death, sadness, destruction, walls that we've built up inside ourselves to protect ourselves from becoming intimate, right? And that those walls all come crumbling down in the end, right? When Christ returns. My challenge for you is that intimacy, deep intimacy is possible with Christ in the here and now and not just in the future. God, our God, is a speaking God. So press in and listen. This morning, I was reading I was having a devotional time with Christ, and I'm in the book of Lamentations right now. And, I was really wrestling with just in my soul this morning of just our talk together. And I was ready to start reading Lamentations. And I heard a still small voice in my soul that said, no, read Mark 1. Read Mark 1. I'm like, okay, I know what Mark 1 is about. Mark 1 is just about, John the Baptist preparing the way. And it hit me later in the chapter. It said that we were reminded of Christ's baptism that said, and where God spoke over Jesus and said, you are my beloved son. In you, I am well pleased. And so, allowing yourself Sabbath rest to be able to hear God, to be able to recognize his voice, is life-changing. That's what these words are for transformation, right? So press in. And so how do I pursue intimacy with God? For me, it's rhythms of rest and spiritual practices, spiritual discipline. You may even call them like routines, habits. I like to think of them as like, you know how we do brush our teeth, comb our hair, put makeup, not me, but makeup for others. We all do these things, right? Because I don't think we're all in our jammies, right? So if we do those things every day for maintenance, I like to think of these things as maintenance for my soul. So like obviously Bible study, obviously journaling, prayer, listening, meditating on scripture, silence and solitude, taking retreat and Sabbath, of course. Spending time in community, just like ours right here. Right? Or talking to someone because maybe you just realize, wow, I'm really messed up and I need some help. There are more, of course. But the point of my rhythms and disciplines are not end goals, to not be checklists, because they're easy for me to be checklists. I love writing checklists. I just do them for fun sometimes. Like, it sounds silly, I just do them for fun. So checking things off feels great to me, okay? So we don't practice spiritual practices simply just to check them off. They are tools to intimacy, right, to God. They're means of grace to grow closer to God and to learn more about his heart for you so that we can live out a Christ-centered life. So I want to share about this, a time with you about a couple of years ago, where these practices of rest and rhythms of rest and work came into deep need. So a few years ago, some of you know, my father passed away very suddenly. And like any death in a family, it's devastating. And that wasn't anything different for my family. I was confused. I was angry. I was deeply sorrowful. I had the whole gamut of grief, right? I began to even question, like, who am I without my dad? If you're familiar with the Stephen Ministry books of grief, one of them says that when you lose a parent, you lose your past. And it hit me. I could feel my heart break. And I shared a little bit of this with our youth during the retreat. But no level of care seemed to matter. I was like on automatic pilot in my mind, right? And yeah, there were loving people in my life, like my wife, of course, and some few heroes who were there for me. But when I couldn't think straight, when I couldn't decide what to do, these rhythms of rest and discipline were just automatic. They were pathways of life for me. They were roads to the King, to my perfect Heavenly Father who I needed. And through those practices, He was ministering to my soul, giving me comfort in the deep loss, wisdom, when I had no idea what I was doing. All because He had helped me build up this set of rhythms of rest and discipline. So I want to challenge you with two takeaways this afternoon. The first one is take inventory of your intimacy level with God. Maybe for you, hearing the word intimacy makes you uncomfortable. They're like, ooh, that's a weird feeling. I don't like that word. Wrestle with God. Ask, why is it challenging? And the second is this. Take Sabbath rest. Take Sabbath rest. And don't start on one day. That's setting yourself up for failure. If you just start off right away, I'm so excited. I'm inspired by what Pastor Jason inspired you to the sharing this morning. Don't take it right away. I fully recognize as an upcoming parent that my rhythms will change. But don't take it right away. Take it step by step, like my father encouraged me. Take things step by step. Start off with half hour. That's how I started. Take off half hour and say, no, this half hour is dedicated to the Lord. Go an hour. Take your lunch. I hope everyone gets a lunch break. No? Okay. That's terrible. But protect that time like it's a doctor's appointment. I was reading up on Eugene Peterson about rhythms of rest and work, and he was saying that we treat our bodily health holy and sacred. When we make a doctor's appointment, we tell people, no, sorry, I have a doctor's appointment. People are usually very gracious and saying, okay, I'll let you take it. Sure, cool, everyone needs it, right? But our souls are so much more complex than that. God has given us a spirit that is made for an infinite relationship with Christ. And so, of course, it needs tending to. So take that time. Take that time and build up to a whole day. Incorporate your family into it, your spouse, your children, right? My parents, when I was growing up, my parents, for a short time when we did Advent, it was every Advent Sunday. And it was like clockwork. Hey, we're going to be doing this every Sunday for 1 month. And I was like, okay, I can handle a month, right? 1 month. But incorporate your family into those rhythms. Oh, and one last thing I incorporate is joy. It's not, Sabbath rest is not for your pleasure time, but it is for joy. Right? So if a video game is what you need for joy, then take that. But it's not an excuse. It's not a full excuse, right? There is. It's a discipline still, right? The name of the game of Sabbath rest is freedom, not restriction, right? He says that, he tells us in Mark, Sabbath was made for us. Sabbath was made for you. Sabbath was made for me, right? Don't treat it like a rule. Don't treat it like don't treat it also like it's less than it's holy, than what God has created it to be. And so I want us to, you can take your phones out. I want to leave you with some questions to take for you to reflect on. Sorry I didn't bring paper for you to take home with you, but take a picture of it. Maybe take your half hour of Sabbath rest to reflect over them. But don't wait any longer to incorporate Sabbath rest into your routine or your rhythms. Emmanuel, you can come back up. Yeah. Look, I know rest is hard. There may be in times in your life where just you may not get much rest, except to eat, sleep, and go to work. And maybe even building intimacy with Christ seems even more distant than rest. Remember that our relationship with Christ, with our God, our Lord and Savior, is forever. We're in eternity. We will be in perfect relationship with our God. Maybe for you, intimacy is good with Christ. My challenge to you is to press in. Press in. It is the one thing in life that you can never get enough of, because it will never pass away. Why? Because we have a deeply loving, perfect, eternal Heavenly Father who loves me, who loves you, who sees you. Right. So let's worship this God together.